which might have bulb inside the gut, might lead to cancer, and you might see the pigmentation over the lips. You might see telangiectatic, which is dilated capillaries, and the same, they have it here in the face or the lips, they might have it in the gut. So skin examination is important. Extremities, the patient's called chlamydia 3D bulbousness indicating severity. Abdominal exam, as you know, in any patient, and PR examination is important. And it is very important part in any patient coming with GI bleeding. It will confirm your diagnosis, not the etiology, of course. It will tell you that if a patient coming to you with melena and you do PR examination, there is no melena or there is normal stool, this is indicating this is not a good history, or he might have something improved. If you have fresh bleeding, you have clotted blood, this is confirming, it will help you to confirm your diagnosis, okay? Okay, now, what you will ask for?
CBC.
Yes, CBC, I think one of the basic things you need to check CBC. You'll benefit from the CBC for hemoglobin level. It will guide further therapy, whether to transfuse the patient or how's the status of the patient. Platelets count is important. He might have platelet disorder due to liver disease or whatever cause, so this is important. We mentioned the point of the hematocrit before. Remember the MCV. MCV in acute GI bleeding, usually what?
No.
It's normal. To have MCV low, usually indicating iron deficiency, which means, chronicity. It is not in the acute setting. So you might have bleeding, patient coming to you, his hemoglobin 11, 10, with normal MCV in the acute setting. Whatever the cause of the acute blood loss will give you usually in the beginning normal, unless the patient has, before that, iron deficiency anemia from any other etiology. Coagulation profile important. The important step which you need to act quickly and order it, which is blood group and cross match. You need generally to check to cross and order for 4 to 6 units of blood, maybe more if you have even massive bleeding. Whether to give it now or to wait, this depending on the status of the patient. Blood, urine, nitrogen, liver function test are other important steps. Okay. Now, what we did so far, we assessed the hemodynamic status. Both important. Step number one. You took the history. In the same time, you examine him and you order quick investigations. And this will be done in 2, 3, 5 minutes, depends on how you act quickly. You order the investigations, and you order after that, you put IV accesses, 2 large 4 IV accesses. You might need to put central line if you don't have any good veins in the periphery, or if you need to give more fluid, you need to put central line. So this is one of the very quick things you do it, give a lot of fluid. Most of the mortality in the patient coming with GI bleeding is due to failure in the resuscitation. And if you are giving blood, fluid, whatever the cause, he will take time to go to endoscopy or to do what surgery, angiography, or intervention. But if you fail in this step, patient might die. And mortality can happen because of failure. It's not accepted, and sometimes you do see it. Patient coming with GI bleeding, they are putting one line, running IV fluid, 80 cc per hour. What is that? This is a joke. This is not resuscitation. So you need to establish these lines, assess hemodynamic status, push a lot of fluid. This is depends on the hemodynamic status from the beginning. If you have a patient with retrieval bleeding, you might give him fluid, but higher rate than this. But in a patient who is hemodynamically unstable, postural hypotension, tachycardia, 2 lines, give him 1, 2, 3 liters in the beginning until you restore the vital signs. Okay?
2 liters per hour.
Yeah, you can do. Run it quickly, yeah. In the beginning, run 500 in each line, yeah. Yes. We'll come to that. This is the point here. How much you give fluid depends on the hemodynamic changes. And you need to be very careful for elderly patients. Heart failure, presenting with... you need to be very careful. You cannot leave him even unstable because you are afraid that he might go into pulmonary edema. You need to give him fluid, because he might die, even ischemia aggravated because of the loss of intravascular volume. So, but you need to be very cautious in that setting. Young, healthy, coming, open 2 lines with a large volume fluid. In elderly, you give it, but cautiously. We need to reassess his lung. You see his JVB, he's developing any congestion, pulmonary edema or not. Okay? You need to give blood transfusion in severe bleeding or in low hematocrit. When to give blood transfusion? There is no clear guidelines when to give it, but generally you need to keep your target. Remember, when you order this basic investigation, you are ordering more and more, Q6 hour, Q8 hours. So if you do hemoglobin now, you will do it after 6 hours. So you see if there is any variation. Your hemoglobin in the beginning or hematocrit normal in the beginning or slightly depressed, it's okay. The second one might be low and you would give the patient, you would give patient blood. So you target the hematocrit. Generally, the target around 20 to 25 in young is accepted hematocrit, which is in the hemoglobin, if you divide it by 3, around 8 to 9 accepted for young. Older people, especially with ischemic heart disease, you need to push it a little bit high, around 10 the hemoglobin, hematocrit around 30. Patient with portal hypertension, there is a theoretical concern that if you are giving a lot of fluid, this might cause more congestion of the varices, and they bleed now, and they might re-bleed again because of the volume. So you need to be careful in those patients when you target him. So you need to keep their hematocrit low. So you need to give blood until you reach this target. Check the coagulopathy. If you have coagulopathy, give fresh frozen plasma, give platelets if needed, etc. طيب, what's the target? Aswad. What's the target for when I'm happy that I'm done with the first stormy 5 minutes with this patient? Or a half an hour, let me take 1 hour.
Stable.
What's the definition of stable? Are they good stable, are they good not stable?
Heart rate will
not be. Blood pressure?
Heart rate
going back to normal. No postural changes. If you have central venous pressure, central venous pressure is normal. If you put the Foley catheter or patient awake, he's giving urine output. Remember, the kidney will not excrete a lot of fluid if there is loss of intravascular, well, this physiological. So when you reach that, the patient urine bag is now full, etc. This is one of the parameters to assess that the patient has adequate resuscitation. Okay. Do we need to intubate the patients or not? Of course, not every patient. It's not commonly to intubate patients, but you might, especially patient varices, they might have encephalopathy, deterioration in the liver, level of consciousness. You might need to intubate those patients to protect the airway. Okay, patient with aspiration pneumonia, patient who is unable to maintain oxygen above 90, okay, or patient with change in the level of consciousness or severe. Some patient, you see varicose bleeding, it's like water bomb, a lot of blood there, putting those patients at risk of aspiration. Okay, other parameters you might consider in certain cases, it's not generally done in every patient. Nasogastric tube, we might do it in certain patients. General upper GI bleeding with adequate resuscitation, with arranging endoscopy, we don't require that. You might need it sometimes to confirm the diagnosis, to make sure this is upper bleeding, not lower GI bleeding. So there are certain uses for that, but generally it's not routinely inserted in every patient. Sometimes we give promotility drug. There are some evidence showing that if you give certain medication, promotility drugs, which is moving the causing contractility and increase the peristalsis of the stomach. So this will help us in what? The endoscopy. So if you have blood, a lot of blood, lots inside the stomach, you'll not see the source. You'll have difficult view. So drugs like erythromycin, which is antibiotic, either prokinetic like mutilium, plazil, any one of these are prokinetic. You can give it to improve the visualization in the endoscopy, but not in every patient. You need to do it. This is another additional thing, single staking tube. I'll show you the picture after a while. This is very severe bleeding. If you cannot control, a lot of bleeding, cannot control it. Rarely we use it nowadays with the presence of medication and the improvement in the endoscopy, but this is a tube with two balloons, one in the esophagus and one in the stomach, to tamponade the varices. So I'll show you a picture after a while. So this measure is not in every patient, but I need you to have an idea about it. Okay, I remember what we did. Stabilizing the patient, what we did in the stabilization of the patient, just repeating what we said. يلا بسرعة هذه النقطة لأن stabilizing the patient in this title is important. I want you to repeat it again. What is it? Assess hemodynamic status. Okay, excellent.
Orthopedic.
Okay.
Orthostatic.
Okay. What else? Restore intravascular volume. Good. If you have fluid, what's your target? Get blood, coagulopathy. Okay. What else? Examination. Lab. Cross match. Okay. Gunnar lines. Fluid. Blood if needed. And what's the circle around them? Continuous monitor. You cannot leave your patient who is unstable, order, and go and see him after 1 hour or 2 hours or 3 hours. Those risky patients, you need to evaluate them frequently. You need to keep them monitored. If you are busy, the nurse should stay there and observe these lines, and you check every time what's happening to those patients. Continuous monitoring. Continuous monitoring either by you or should be in critical care setting. Remember this, adequate resuscitation is essential. How much you resuscitation depends on the severity. To monitor ECG, oxygen urine output, oxygenation and intubation, ICU if needed, transfusion if indicated. After that, we'll take a history of an ad, check the result of the lab, consult the gastro, start the specific medications, which we will come to them, and do endoscopy for diagnosis and management. Okay. Now remember, this is just to show you that most of the bleeding is stopped by itself. Most of the time, 80%. So we are targeting what? Those patients who might re-bleed. There is no bleeding now, or there might be continuous bleeding. So this is, we need to identify those patients. Which patient is at risk? This will help us to see this is high risk. Should be resuscitated more aggressive. Should be in the scope earlier. Okay, because patient GI bleeding, you might do him in 24 hours, sometimes in 48 hours. But the general endoscopy should be done within 24 hours. Okay, so remember the poor prognostic markers or parameters, we have older age, comorbid condition, shock, red blood and vomiting. This is by history. Someone who's old, someone who's coming with a lot. He has ischemic heart disease, he has a renal failure, he has liver disease, etc. Coming in a shock, coming with vomiting blood. This is high risk by history. And examination. Requiring multiple blood donors. You are giving blood every time, you cannot keep the hematocrit. You are giving blood, you finish 2 units, still repeated hematocrit the same. This is patients going to go in trouble. Active bleeding at this time of the endoscopy, variceal versus non-variceal is high risk, bleeding from a visible sperting vessels, bleeding from a large ulcer. So there are many scores to categorize your patient. It's not important for you. Important for you to know the parameters of high risk, which is part of it is clinical history and examination, part lab, part neuro management. When you manage the patient. Are you awake? I'm about to show up here and you have it. Okay. Fine. This is endoscopic predictor. If you have peptic ulcer disease, remember, if you have the risk, and ulcer disease, which is a common, you have different kind of ulcers, or a different endoscopic picture. You might have clean base ulcer, flat spot, oozing, adherent man, spurting, or active bleeding. Commonly, it's clean base ulcer. The rate without, with medical therapy, without endoscopy, the rate of free bleeding is very low, 3 to 5%. But if you have active artery, the rate with medical therapy is 90. They will never stop. You need to do some endoscopic intervention. Fine. Now we'll go in this last part very quickly, which is not a very long part, which is how to diagnose and manage specifically. Diagnosis, the best thing is endoscopy. Either endoscopy means many things, upper GI endoscopy, colonoscopy, enteroscopy, a lot of things means endoscopy. Other thing, interventional radiology can do angiography. There are certain indications. RBC scan has diagnostic, but no therapeutic role. Capsule endoscopy, barium, and surgery. This is all can be diagnostic. You can do surgery to see where is the site. Okay, now how can we treat patient GI bleeding? Treatment, And I remember, treatment, we have more than one line in the treatment, either pharmacological, endoscopic, angiographic, or surgical. But before endoscopy, usually we start with pharmacological. What's the pharmacological therapy we are using? I'm sure most of you know. No. Pharmacological treatment for patient presenting with GI bleeding.
Depends on what
we suspect. Like generally, if we suspect it is peptic ulcer, or which is the most of the cases, we give medications. What is this medication? Acid suppression. Why we care for acid suppression? What's the physiology behind it? Remember, acidity will cause lysis of the clot. So if you suppress the acidity, you will give stabilization of the clot. So this will help in stabilizing the clot. Okay. طبعا generally the BBI will not help in variceal bleeding. There is something else like also active drugs like octreotide, somatostatin, terlipressin. All these can cause constriction of the portal vein territories. Okay. Acid suppression. You understand the wisdom behind it. For suspected viruses, you give octreotide or terlipressin, antibiotic, and any cirrhotic GI bleeding. How can you manage GI bleeding with antibiotics? It's funny.
Erythromycin.
No, not erythromycin. But this is not a line of managing the bleeding itself. It is part of managing GI bleeding in any cirrhotic. You know, they are prone to have sepsis. This will increase the re-bleeding. This will increase their morbidity and mortality. And there is very, very clear evidence. Any patient with cirrhosis and bleeding from whatever the cause, you need to give them antibiotics. Unlike patient with bleeding from ulcer. So if you have cirrhotic coming with GI bleeding, give antibiotic, plus other medications, of course. But in addition to that, you give antibiotic. Okay? Often we give either fluoroquinolone like ciprofloxacin or third generation cephalosporin like ceftriaxone. For lower GI bleeding, no specific pharmacology unless you suspect other GI bleeding. So this is the pharmacological endoscopic. And this is the, we mentioned this, why the acid is important for suppressing the acid. This is to show you the BBI. This is a comparison between patient. The red ones given medications, acid suppression. Those one, no acid suppression. You see the re-bleeding rate is low in patient taking acid suppression suppressing agent. Surgery is this, and mortality is this. Like you see the B-value there, not significant, and in this place, it is significant. Yes.
ملاش بس في previous line. كيف placebo في surgery؟ في نسبتين.
Nothing. Endoscopic therapy. You have thermal mechanical injection. Thermal, there are many modalities to manage. Bipolar, monopolar, argon, plasma, heater probe, all these things, just to know the names, I'll show you some picture. The aim of them is to coagulate the area of the bleeding. Mechanical, you might do hemoclip, clips, clip the area, or ligate. Injection, there are many things which cause vascular constriction or work by tamponading in the submucosa of the source of the bleeding. Timing of the endoscopy, generally early endoscopy means endoscopy within 24 hours. You might do it within 4 hours, 6 hours, depends on the status of the patient. Okay, this is a different picture of the peptic ulcer disease. Clean base, flat pigment, to adherent clot, to oozing, to spurting vessels. This is how this is managed by thermal coagulation, or what's called heater probe. This is figure demonstrating how you coagulate the area. And this is argon plasma coagulator. And this is the clips, you see, clipping the area. And this angiography, when you picture and you block that vessel. And this is the banding. Banding of the varices. What is the meaning of the banding? This is the scope, sucking the varices inside and releasing band. Banding shear, band. Okay, and you see the picture.
Doctor, is this the same mechanism we use for hemorrhoids?
It's the same mechanism, but it's different in scope. It's the same idea. You suck it, you band it. طبعا in varices previously used sclerotherapy injection cause sclerosis of the vessels, not used يعني frequently now, rarely we use it, but banding is more effective. This is a picture of banding. This is what I mentioned to you, single stake into you, please concentrate, no side talking. شباب دقيقتين رجاء don't disturb others. This is single stake into you. This is a tube, this is tamponading the esophagus, this is tamponading the fundus, and you apply pressure. طبعا this is complex, rarely we use it. This is the tips, transjugular intrahepatic portosystemic shunting. This is a way of diverting the portal to the systemic. Okay, this will relieve, this is variceal bleeding generally. Surgery, you need the surgery in patient who's unstable, there is no difficult to control. This is just a summary of what we have. You have our jaw bleeding, stabilize the patient, do endoscopy. If it is ulcer, depends on the kind of the ulcer, viruses, you do endoscopic therapy, and if it is others, generally no endoscopic intervention, or you might do it based on the etiology. So endoscopy will tell us the diagnosis, then we'll manage accordingly. This is for lower GI bleeding, it's the same idea. Sometimes, one of the approaches to put the nasogastric and to give cololite to flush it. Sometimes you give, if the patient is stable, we give him some colonic preparation and we do it electively. If not, we might insert IG tube to give preparation for the colon, to clean the area and to do colonoscopy and we manage depending on the cause. The long-term management, treat the underlying cause, avoid risk factor, treat it virally. For viruses, repeat endoscopy until you eradicate them. Okay. For lower GI bleeding, treat the underlying cause. If it is peptic ulcer disease, if it is H. pylori, what's happening to you? I told you at the end. H. pylori, you need to eradicate it, non-steroidal, you might stop it unless it's needed. You can stop it temporarily, then your patient can continue in non-steroidal later on with acid suppression. Okay? Remember, definition causes, risk, stratification, the approach. If you have any question, we are done. Thank you.
هل التيبس استخدمها في حالة سيروتيك بيشنت يعني؟
تيبس يوجوالي سيروتيك بيشنت
لازم نعطيها مع انتي بايوتيك
طبعا نوت افري بيشنت وي ريفير ذم تو تيبس طبعا التيبس ان بيشنت هو يوجوالي دي بليدنج ان سبايت اوف اندوسكوبي اوكي كويستشن